There are two very basic questions, or two very basic problems in reference to this week's parasha. And I believe that the answer to these two very basic questions constitutes a fundamental and principle, a very basic principle in Hashgacha, which it's imperative that each and every one of us understand. The pasuk, which is describing the pregnancy of Rivka, at the beginning of the parsha, says that Vayisreitzu habonim bekirbo, that inside of her, the twins that she was carrying were agitated. They were moving around. And Rashi quotes Chazal, that Chazal tell us that the source or the cause of this agitation, this moving around, was for a reason. Rabbi Seinu Dorshuhu, Chazal understood that the word Vayisreitzu is a derivation from the root of Ritzo, to run. And therefore, Chazal explained, Kishahisa Ayveres al Pischei Teira Shulshein Ve'iva, when she passed by the doorway of the yeshiva of Shein Ve'iva, Yaakov started moving, started running, Umefalches, and he started struggling, Lotzes, to go out. Iveris al pischei aveidah zarah, but when she went past a mokim aveidah zarah, Esav mefalches lotes, Esav started struggling to go out. And the question which everybody asks on this Maimah Chazal is that the Yetzer Hara only comes into a person, the Yetzer Hara only enters a person from the point in time when the person is actually born. There is no Yetzer Hara that a person has prior to birth. An embryo does not have a Yetzer Hara. And we learn this out from a pasuk in Sefer Bereishis, where the pasuk says, Lepesach chatas revitz, in Parshas Bereishis. Chazal learn out from the pasuk Lefesach chatos revetz that sin, chatos, transgression, is revetz, is situated by Pesach at the opening, that when a child is born, that's when the Yetzer Hara enters the child. And in a further raya, which Chazal bring, is actually from a couple of psukim later in this week's parsha, where the Ribbono Shel Olam, in order to pacify her, in order to calm her down, says, don't be worried about what's going on, because Vayomer Hashem lo, shnei goyim bebitneich, there are two nations within you, ushnei le'umim, and two regimes, mimeayich yiporedu, from your insides they will be separated. And on that pasuk, which says, "Ushnei le'umim mimei'ayich yiporedu," Rashi says, "Min ha'me'ayim heim nifrodim ze le'rishay v'ze le'tumoy." There are twins inside you, but they are two totally different personalities. When they are born, one will move in the direction of Rishus, and one will move in the direction of Tmimus. And from the fact that the Pasuk says that Mimeayich Yiporedu, when they leave your womb, they will separate in two directions, one in the direction of Tzidkus and one in the direction of Rishus. From there we see, say Chazal, that the Yetzirah only starts at the point of Mimeayim Yiporedu, when a child is born. Prior to a child being born, there is no such thing as a child having a Yetzirah. And if that's the case, as the Maral in his Pirush and Chumash in Gur Arya already asks, if that's the case, that there is no Yetzirah prior to birth, then how come that when she walked by in the stage of pregnancy, prior to the birth of Yaakov Esav, when she walked by a base Aveda Zara, Esav wanted to go out, and when she walked past a base HaMedrash, Yaakov wanted to go out. Why should Esav want to go out when she walks past a base Aveda Zara if we're talking about prior to birth, and prior to birth there's no Yetzahara? The second question, which everybody asks on this week's parsha, is the strangeness of the fact that Yitzchak, with all his greatness, loves Esav more than he loves Yaakov, to the degree that he dafka wants to give the brachas to Esav and he doesn't want to give the brachas to Yaakov. Is it really possible, or is it really feasible, that Yitzchak Begadlusai didn't know who Esav was or what Esav was? And if he did know who Esav was and what Esav was, then why did he dafka have a sympathy towards Esav more than towards Yaakov? And why did he dafka want to give the brachas to Esav and not to give the brachas to Yaakov? And I would venture to suggest that there's a link between the answer to both these questions. In reference to the first question, as how come that Esav, prior to his birth, every time that Rivka walked past the Beis Aveda Zorah, wanted to leave the womb and go to the Beis Aveda Zorah, if prior to birth there is no Yetzirah? As we said, the Maharal asks the question. And the Maharal gives an answer which superficially seems to be a very strange answer. And the Maharal says the following. The Maharal says, it is absolutely true and it is absolutely correct that there is no Yetzirah until after birth. Therefore, it is impossible for an embryo in its mother's womb to do a chet because of the Yetzirah. Because there is no Yetzirah, so he can't be doing the chet because of the Yetzirah. There is no possibility that an embryo in its mother's womb should want to sin because he wants to do an Aveira. That can't be, says the Maharal, because there is no Aveda Zorah, there's no Yetzirah prior to birth. However, says the Maharal the following, Aval Kan, but in our case here, in this week's parsha, Masha Osa Esav, that which Esav was doing that every time she walked past the base Avodah Zarah, he was mitzreitzetz bekirba, loy bishvil yitzray. That was not a result of his yetzer hara. So what was it a result of? Elo mipnei shehaya esav reitze lotzeis loshuv el minoy ve tivoy. Because Esav wanted to act according to his inherent nature. Shekol dova v'dova. Because everything created misoire el tivoy acts according to its nature. Lefichach, therefore, kishebo Yaakov lebote mishroshes, when she walked past a Beis HaMedrash, the nature of Yaakov was to be a Yoshev Ohalim. Therefore, the nature of Yaakov caused him to want to leave and go to the Beis HaMedrash. When she walked past a Beis Avodah Zarah, the nature of Esav was Avodah Zarah, and therefore he wanted to leave. V'loy mishum yetzer hara, but not because of a yetzer hara, because this was his very nature. Now this statement of the Maharal, superficially, doesn't really make sense. Why? Because if we're going to accept the hypothesis of the Maharal, that the nature of Esav was such that he was naturally drawn towards Chet, he was naturally drawn towards Avera, then everything that he did in his life was basically simply a result of who he was. It was basically simply a result of his nature. This was his nature. His nature was to be an Eved Avodah Zarah. So if this was his nature, then why should he be punished for it, or why should he be condemned for it, or why should he be considered to be wicked as a result of his nature? If this is his nature, then it's not his fault, it's God's fault. He shouldn't have created him with such a nature. So why bichlal do we talk about Esav being a Rasha? Esav wasn't a Rasha, Esav was a guy with bad luck. He was born with a certain nature which led him in a certain direction. So he's a Rebbech. But he's not a Rasha. So obviously, the Maharal must be saying something. What's the Maharal trying to say? We find another puzzle in this week's parsha. An additional puzzle in this week's parsha. And that is that the Torah does something which seemingly is very strange. When the Torah talks about the birth of Yaakov and Esav, the Torah describes the exterior appearance of Esav when he was born. Vayetze horishein admoini kuloi ki aderes seo vayikru shemoi Esav. That Esav was born first, he was the Bechor. He came out, he emerged from his mother's womb. Admoini, red. Kuloi, ka'aderes seo, as if he was covered already with hair. Who cares? And Yaakov was born with two big ears and a small nose. Very nice. In other words, why is the Torah bothering to describe to us the external appearance of Esav when he was born? Now, obviously, if the Torah is describing to us the exterior description of Esav when he was born, the Torah is coming to tell us something. It can't be coming to tell us something just about his external appearance. It must be coming to tell us something about his personality. It must be coming to tell us something about the essence of his personality. So obviously the Torah's description that Esav was Admoni, and the Torah's description that Esav was Ke'aderes Seor, is obviously coming to tell us something. It's a description of the personality of Esav. What is it describing? In Sefer Shmuel, after Shaul HaMelech messes up, he was given a tzivui by the Ribbono Shel Olam that he should go out to war against Amalek and he should kill all the Amalekim, inclusive of Agog Melech Amalek. Right? He doesn't do it. I'm not going to go into now into the reasons as to why he doesn't do it, and why he messed up, and what his mistake was. But at the end of the day, bottom line, he didn't do what the Ribbono Shel Olam told him to do. And because he didn't do what the Ribbono Shel Olam told him to do, he lost the Melucha. The Melucha royalty wasn't going to continue through the lineage of Shaul HaMelech. And a new king had to be appointed to succeed Shaul HaMelech. And Shmuel HaNovi gets a nevuah from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Shmuel HaNovi is told by the Ribbono Shel Olam, go to a certain place where there is a Jew by the name of Yishai who lives there. And this Jew has a number of sons. One of these sons is going to be the successor to Shaul HaMelech. And when you get there, I'll tell you who it is. And in Perek Tes Zayin of Shmuel Aleph, where this whole story is described, after being told to go to Beis Yishai, but not being told which one of the children of Yishai is going to be anointed king in place of Shaul, Shmuel goes. And the Pasuk says that when he gets there, the first person that he meets is the oldest son of Yishai, whose name was Eliov. And the impression that Shaul HaMelech gets after meeting this son Eliov is such that he's convinced that this is the son of Yishai that should be anointed as king in place of Shaul HaMelech. To which the Ribbono Shel Olam informs Shmuel with a nevuah that he's making a mistake. You got the wrong kid. I'm not talking about, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, about this one. To which Shmuel HaNovi starts looking at the other children of Yishai. But when he looks at the other children of Yishai, he doesn't find anybody that he thinks is suitable to be Melech. So he turns around to Yishai and he says, do you have any other kids? And Yishai says, yeah, I've got one more, the youngest, he was, I think, 28 at the time, and he's out there looking after the sheep, to which Shmuel says, bring him. To which the Pasuk says, Vayishlach, Yishai sent a messenger, Vayivi'ehu, and they bring the youngest son of Yishai, whose name was David. And then what does the Pasuk say? A description of what David HaMelech looked like. Vahu Admoini. He was red. But, Yifei Naim, he had nice eyes. Now, that's very important for us to know. And the Ribbono Shel Olam then comes to Shmuel HaNavi in a nevuah, and he says to Shmuel HaNavi, this is the one. This is the one to become Melech. So what does the Pasuk do here? The Pasuk emphasizes the fact that David HaMelech was Admoni. Why? Why is the Pasuk telling us that David HaMelech was Admoni? Why is the Pasuk telling us indeed that David HaMelech was Yafei Naim? Who cares? And that question is asked by Chazal. Where is it asked by Chazal? In this week's Medrash. In the Medrash Rabbah on this week's Parsha. In the Medrash Rabbah on this week's Parsha, Rav Ava Bar Kahana asked this question. Why does the Pasuk tell us that David HaMelech was Admoni? To which Rav Ava Bar Kahana says the following. He says, Admoni represents red. Red represents blood. Blood represents Shvichas Domim. Murder. What Shmuel HaNavi saw when he met David HaMelech the first time was there's something about the personality of this individual that tells me that in terms of his nature, he is a Shefech Domim. And therefore, because he's a Shefech Domim, which is lichura, not a positive character trait, therefore, he's not suitable to be the Melech. He can't be the one that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants should be the successor of David HaMelech. And the way in which Rav Ava Bar Kahana expresses it is that Shmuel HaNavi turned around and Shmuel HaNavi said, Ze Shefech Domim Ka'esov. This guy looks to me to be a Shefech Domim in the same way as Esav was a Shefech Domim. To which, says Rav Ava Bar Kahana, the Ribbono Shel Olam responds to Shmuel HaNavi, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Shmuel HaNavi, you're right, he's an Admoni, but he's an Admoni im Yafei Naim. Says Rav Ava Bar Kahana, what does that mean? That the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Shmuel, there's a vast difference between David and between Esav. Esav was a Shefech Domi Midas Atzmoi. Esav was a murderer. Esav was a killer. Esav was violent. But he determined who he killed and to whom he was violent. Whereas David HaMelech will also kill. Because David HaMelech has this midah of Shvichas Domim. But he'll only kill Aldas Sanhedrin. He'll only kill when Sanhedrin tells him to kill. And that's what's meant by Yafei Einayim, because the Sanhedrin are described in the Torah as Einei Ha'edo, as the eyes, the guides of the community. And therefore, when the Pasuk is saying that he's an Admoni, but he is a Yafei Einayim, the Pasuk is saying he's a killer. But he's a killer only as per instruction of Sanhedrin. Never on his own accord. Therefore, when the Pasuk says that Esav is an Admoni, the Pasuk is describing the essence of the personality of Esav as violence. The essence of the personality of Esav as being a Shefech Domim. He was Noilad Admoni. He was born with a nature of cruelty. He was born with a nature of Shvi'ches Domim. Fine. But if so, then why can you come with pinas on Esav that he led a life of violence and he led a life of Shvi'ches Domim? If that was his nature, as indeed the Pasuk is obviously saying. On this, the Gaon of Vilna writes in his commentary on Mishlei. He says, every single person is born with certain tchunois. Every single person is born with certain characteristics which are inherent to his nature. In the language of Chazal, characteristics which are inherent in the nature of a person are called the mazel of the person. The mazel of the person is not some type of esoteric idea, which in order to understand it, you have to run to Kabbalah's forum. The mazel of a person simply means the inherent characteristics that a person has by nature from birth. However, even if a person is born with a nature or with a characteristic, which each and every one of us is, which is negative, which is derogatory, which is a midara, it's a tchuna ra, that doesn't mean, says the Goyen, that whether he likes it or not, he will be ra. Because there is a concept of bechira. There is a concept of free will. There is a concept of free choice. Every individual has the ability to direct his inherent nature in the direction that he wants. You can navigate your inherent nature. Therefore, say Chazal, if a person is born with a nature that leads him to spilling blood, in the language of Chazal, he's born under the constellation of Mars, right? Which means that he's born with a nature for Shvi'ches Domim. Say Chazal, he has a choice. He can be a murderer, but he can also be a sheichet, say Chazal. Or he could also be a moel. That's already his choice, how he's going to express the characteristic of Shvi'ches Domim that he has. A person can be born with a nature which is such that he enjoys. His only tainug in life is destruction. So he now has a choice. He can take a job with the mafia and blow up houses and cars, or he can become a millionaire by opening up a demolition company and working for Williamsburg Jews in insurance scams. That's up to him. That's what he decides to do. That's his bechira. That's how he navigates the essence of what his nature is. The Ribbono Shel'Olam said to Shmuel HaNavi, in essence, you're right. The nature of David HaMelech is no different than the nature of Esav. Both of them have a nature of cruelty. Both of them have a nature of Shvi'ches Domim. But there's one big difference. Esav wasn't willing to place a control over his nature. David HaMelech put the Sanhedrin as the determining factor as to where and when he should use his nature. Yes, says the Goyim. And this is how he sums it up. He says, yes, it's true. Every single person is born with a certain nature. But a person has to know how to educate his nature. A person has to know how to control his nature. A person has to know how to direct his nature. And that's what the Maharal is talking about. What the Maharal is talking about is that when the Pasuk says, Vayisraitzitzu abonim bekirbo, what the Torah is telling us that when they were over on a Pesach of a Beis Aveda Zorah, Esau was mefaches lotzeis. Why? Not mitzad yetzahara, but mitzad his nature. He never had a yetzahara, but this was his nature. His nature was in that direction. But that doesn't mean that he has to grow up like that. That doesn't mean that he has to lead his life like that, says the Maharal. He has the Bechira as to whether he will direct this nature in the right direction or in the wrong direction. You can take this nature and you can use it in the direction of Avedas Hashem. Because I'll say, there are certain situations where a person can't succeed in Avedas Hashem unless he's cruel. Sometimes he has to be cruel to his family, sometimes he has to be cruel to others in order to succeed in Avedas Hashem. So you can take the mitzvah of cruelty. But the question is, in what direction are you taking it? There's no doubt that because Esav was born with a nature of Shvichas Domim, of Achzorius, and Yaakov was born with a nature which was the Hepach, which is the opposite, that Yaakov had an easier time than Esav in life. Nobody's arguing on that. Obviously, if you're born with positive characteristics, it's easier than if you're born with negative characteristics that you have to control the whole time. But mitzad sheni, the schar of Esav, when he controls his nature, is greater than the schar of Yaakov, because Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapeach schar Yishachol Beria. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives you schar according to the amount of effort and the amount of difficulty that's involved. If Esav would have directed his nature in the right direction and through that become a Yaakov, then the schar of Esav would have been much greater than the schar that Yaakov got, even though the nisyonis of Esav would have been greater than the nisyonis of Yaakov. Even though Yaakov had it easier. The Zohar writes that the midah of Yitzchok was Gvura. That the midah of Yitzchok was Pachad. Pachad Yitzchok. Says the Zohar, what does that mean? What does it mean when we say that the midah of Yitzchok was Gvura? Says the Zohar something very interesting. He says, Gvura means overcoming difficulty. Gvura means strength of character. Not physical strength. Strength of character. Says the Zohar, Yitzchok's life was a life where he continuously had to overcome his nature. And that's why the midah of Yitzchok was considered to be Gvura. And that's why we talk about Pachad Yitzchok, because Yitzchok was constantly in a state of fear. He was constantly in a state of fear that he's not controlling his natural personality and putting it into the right direction. Says the Zohar, why was Yitzchok more attached to Esav than he was to Yaakov? Says the Zohar, Kol min oihev es minoi. The nature of a person is that he connects. He either relates to somebody who is like him closer than he relates to somebody who's not like him. That's the Matzias of life, says the Zohar. And therefore, Yitzchak was convinced that in the same way that he went through all these trials and he was successful, Esav could also do it. But you need certain vehicles. You need certain vehicles to be able to do it. And therefore Yitzchak wanted to give Esav the vehicles that are necessary in order to be able to navigate and in order to be able to guide the tchunas in the right direction. And that, says the Zohar, are the brachas. The brachas aren't bracha v'atzlocha. The brachas are kelim. They're vehicles that Yitzchak wanted to give to Esav to help him along the way. But the end of the story is that Esav wasn't successful. He didn't manage. And because Esav didn't try in the least to control his tchunas, therefore the Ribbono Shel'olam was mesavev the ashgacha that he shouldn't get the brachas, because he doesn't need the kelim. Why not? Why wasn't he successful? What was it that prevented Esav from becoming another Yitzchak? But how does a person control his natural tchunas? How does a person direct himself in the right direction? Why is the person not directing his tchunas in the right direction? Because the Yetzer Hara doesn't want him to. The Yetzer Hara wants him to use his natural tchunas in the wrong direction. The Yetzer Hara wanted that Esav should be a Shofech Domim. The Yetzer Hara doesn't want that the Shvichas Domim should be under the control of Einei Ha'Eido, of the Sanhedrin. So the only reason why a person isn't successful in controlling his nature is because the Yetzer Hara doesn't allow him to. So if the person wants to be successful in controlling his nature, he has to find an antidote to the Yetzer Hara. So along come Chazal and say, we have the antidote to the Yetzer Hara. We have the vehicle in which a person can control and guide his tchunas. Barosi Yetzer Hara, Barosi Torah Tavlin. Torah does it. That is the nature of Torah. That's what Torah does. Why? How? We haven't got the faintest idea. But that's the Metzius. The Metzius is that Torah is Tavlin, is the antidote for the Yetzer Hara. We quoted before the Pasuk, which says that when Esav was born, Vayete Orishan Admoini Kuloi Ka'aderes Seo, Vayikru Shemoi Esav. What does that mean? Vayikru Shemoi Esav. Everybody called him Esav. What does that mean, that everybody called him Esav? What, 500,000 people all of a sudden had the same idea as to what nickname to call him? It fell into their minds, all of them. Mamish at the same time. They all said, ah, this is the right name to call him Esav. Says Rashi, Hako Karu Lukein. What does the pasuk mean when the pasuk says that everybody called him Esav? Esav Miloshen fully made, fully completed, finished. Naise v'nigmar b'sa'aroi. He looked. Kiben shonim harbe. He didn't look like a baby. He looked like a grown-up child when he was born. The external appearance of Esav wasn't the normal external appearance of a baby. It was of an adult. And the Targum Yonason says he was born with teeth. He was born with a full set of teeth. Very nice. So put it in the Guinness Book of Records. Right? What's it going to do with us? But there's something being told to us here. When the Torah tells us about the name of a person, the Torah is not just telling us what the person was called. The Torah is defining the personality of the person. The name defines the personality of the person. It tells you something about the essence of the person. It tells you something about the kishkas of the person. It tells you who the person is and what the person is. Esav was born with an attitude. And the attitude is, I am complete. I am finished. Don't tell me what to do because I know better. There is nobody who can teach me anything because I know everything that has to be known. In every area, in everything, I am the expert. And there is nobody around who can tell me what to do. What does it say in reference to Yaakov? The Yaakov Ishtom Yeshev Eiholim. To which the Mefarshim ask, why does it say Yeshev Eiholim in the plural? To which Chazal answer, quoted by the Mefarshim, that Yaakov wasn't satisfied by learning in one place. Yoishev Eholim, says Rashi, Yoishev Ba'ayale Shel Shem V'Shel Eivel. Now before he went to Shem V'Eivel, where did he learn? By his father, by Yitzchak. So he learned by Yitzchak. Then he went to Shem. Then he went to Eivel. Says the Targum Yonason, Meshamesh Be'Beis Midrasha De Eivel. Started off by Yitzchok, went to Shem, then he went to Eivel. Why? Tova Upam. He constantly was looking for more places where he could learn something from. In other words, the Targum Yonason translates Yoshev Eiholim. Somebody who uses every opportunity that he has to learn something new, because he's aware of the fact that he has what to learn. And this is where, or what it all boils down to. Esav didn't succeed because he was full of himself. He didn't need anybody else. He knew everything. Yaakov was the opposite. Yaakov was constantly trying to learn. The Alter of Kelm says, why did Jews use this strange expression which is of stirim in eobay, which is an inherent contradiction? Chazal used this expression, and the expression is an inherent contradiction. Talmid Chochem. If you're a Talmud, you're a student. If you're a Chochem, you're a wise person. If you're a student, you're not a wise person. If you're a wise person, you're not a student. Says the Alter of Kelm, not true. What's the definition of a Chacham? Somebody who realizes that in his entire life, there's no such thing as I know. One's constantly a Talmud. One constantly has to be able to learn more and more. And that's what this parasha is telling us. This parasha is telling us the responsibility that lies on every single individual. Every one of us was born with a nature. And the nature consists of a variety, a list of different characteristics. Everybody is born with a characteristic of laziness, and everybody is born with a characteristic of zrizus. It just depends on us as to where you use the laziness and where you use the zrizus. I just want to finish on a personal note. Even though I made a personal decision that I wasn't going to talk about this week, about this, but I want to just say